Actually, I keep wanting to give a talk about non-duality during these Sunday sittings because it's something so close to my own practice and such a natural fulfillment and outcome to a Vipassana practice. And our country is at such a tipping point of instability. And a community like ours, which has been impacted on so many levels, and I see it all around us, seems so much what's on our minds. That seems like where we need to go this morning. Because a Sangha community is not a neutral community in a situation like this. In the Sangha, we have values from the precepts, from the Four Noble Truths, from the Brahma Viharas, principles like non-harm, speaking truth, non-anger, non-greed, kindness, compassion, being happy when people around us are doing well and helping support that. Those are not neutral values. And so I think it is incumbent on us to express our practice to our communities in these ways. And at the same time, it doesn't mean we all have the same opinions. We don't have the same opinions about what's going on or what we think might need to happen or how that might occur. And so I want to make these remarks kind of universal, no matter where you are on the spectrum, to give us a sense of how do we engage our practice in this amazing and this pivotal time we're in. So, with those two things as preamble, I just want to offer some guidelines in the uncertainty, the mental stress, the all the changes going on around us from our practice. The first thing I want to say is please don't waste yourself in non-acceptance. Now, we know from the first and second noble truth that most of the suffering, actually all of it, but I'll say most because that's well, doesn't come from the circumstance we're in, but by our resistance to it, by our wanting it to be different than what it is. I think it was Epictetus that says it's not what happens to our thoughts about us that creates us all the stress. And by non-acceptance means like, well, let me just say that acceptance doesn't mean, oh, everything's fine. It's okay that this is going on. Acceptance means we're here. This is what's happening. That's when, and non-acceptance is the fighting. Oh my God, this is terrible. I'm so upset. And acceptance is just, wow, this is not ideal, but this is where we are. Like an example, let's say you are in your car and you're driving to the airport to catch a plane, and there's an accident and you're stuck on the highway. And it starts to dawn on you, you're not going to make your flight. Non-acceptance would be, and it's not that we don't feel adrenalized in that situation, we would, like this, oh my goodness, I'm not going to make my flight. But non-acceptance is railing, oh my God, I have to get there. It's just terrible. This can't be happening. Acceptance is, wow, it's becoming clear, I'm not going to make my flight. Now, which of those two paths will the most skillful response to the situation arise in? So by acceptance, I mean we accept, we elected what's happening in our country. It's kind of it's an oxymoron in a way. We had a democratic process to upend parts of our constitution, but that's where we are. It's just where we are. And you know, this is a subtle and nuanced thing because we are so quick to believe our thoughts and reactions to things. We're so quick when the amygdala fires up in us, the part that reacts and sort of a survival mechanism, it's hard not to immediately go into its outflow. So that's what our practice is. We see the stuff comes up and we don't go into its outflow. We're just like, here we are. And secondly, we do this because a skillful response will rarely come out of non-acceptance. If you don't accept where reality is right now, you're very unlikely to be able to find a transformational response to it. So don't waste yourself in non-acceptance. Normally we use the word resistance. I'm just putting a new word in that seems like it fits at least what's going on in me. And that said, of course, we are all going to experience despair, upsetness, frustration, fear, right? So when that comes up, the suttas tell us that when a practitioner has a mind filled with anger, the response is to know that you have a mind filled with anger. And I got to say, when I first read that 20 years ago, I thought, is that all you got? I know when I'm angry. I mean, I know it, right? So what does that mean? But it means two things. One, it means that when you know it, you don't try to fix it. It doesn't say fix it. It doesn't say deep six it. It doesn't say read the first self-help book you can get your hands on. It says you stay with it. You're just present with it, which is an incredibly powerful and I think the only meaningful response. Oh my gosh, I'm so scared right now. Wow. That's a powerful place to be because it doesn't flow. It doesn't flow into, reaction. It opens to response. And the second reason why knowing where your mind is so powerful in the sutras, I think, is that it understands that the part of you that knows what's going on in your mind and your body, the part of you that is experiencing what your mind and your body is doing, that part of you way back there is much more stronger than any conditioned object like a thought or a feeling that could possibly come up for you. And that really is where the whole Dharma is leading to, finding that place that doesn't change. It's always there. It's the knowing of our experience. It's our awareness that is bigger and stronger. So that's why it took me a while to figure out that with the sutra, but I think that's why it's so effective. And that is really what our practice is about. So we've been doing a lot of this work, I know, in our continuing classes, that when the fruits of resistance arise in us, of reaction, we make room for them. We just hold them like you would a child coming to you, like, I've got you. I see you. And this actually is so game-changing, to be able to see something and not buy into it, not fall into it. Muji has a wonderful saying. He said, when you see those kinds of reactions, he said, it's like you're going down the aisle of a store, and that anger is like a package of something you can see on the shelf. You can notice it's there. It's no problem. It's there. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to buy it with your time and energy. So that's where our practice comes in, to stay put with the feelings. You read the news and you're like, oh my goodness. You stay and you nourish those feelings. And that keeps you open to the next thing, which is, how do we respond? What do we draw on? So there was a quote by Einstein, which he said, a problem cannot be solved on the level from which it arose. So when we accept, okay, here we are, we can become fully open to finding that level deeper or higher, as your viewpoint may be, than the level the problem is on. And in the problem of our country, or I should say the situation of our country, what's fueling it is division, not speaking truth, not knowing what's real and what's true for many of us. Distrust of each other, fear of each other. So obviously, reactions that come on that level are not going to help. I mean, that when you think about it, oh, we have to find something else. You know, because the problem is, it's easy to rule people by the amygdala. They, you know, kind of like somebody can speak and get you by your brainstem of being afraid. It's easy to control people there, but it's not where we have to. It's not where the solution lies. So there's this quote by the Dhammapada, another part of our tradition, that said, hatred has never been overcome by more hatred. Hatred is only overcome by love, by unity. That is the law, ancient and unavoidable. So we have to find a higher ground. One of my favorite quotes that used to be a bumper sticker on a car was Gandhi saying, we have to be the change we want to be, we want to see in the world. We need to be that change ourselves. And I would say that in this case, our response has to be heart-filled. It has to be compassionate. It has to be kind. It has to be seeing our commonality and the fact that when we think we're separate than other people, that's delusion. Seeing clearly is to understand we all want the same things. We want to have good lives. We want to see beauty. We want to have friendship. We want to see everyone around us doing well, having enough to eat and a place to stay. So what might that response look like? So first, I just want to say the principles here is the response isn't from non-acceptance. It isn't from fighting what is. It's from accepting where we are. And in our practice, it brings us to this decision point that we all are working with on some level, which is, how do I live in this world as it is? How do I respond to this? This is what engaged practice is. We have been born for this moment. We have been practicing for this moment. There's no mistake here. It's not like, oh my God, everything's gone south. No, we are. This is it, guys. This is what we've been practicing for. This is that blackbird singing in the dead of night moment for us. So let's rise to it. So I just want to now engage together with a little bit of this. So from our hearts, from our practices, what do our hearts want to see in the world? What do we want? Let's see how I wrote it down here. Yeah, what do our hearts value in the world? What are our values?
Are you
I am asking you guys. I've talked enough. What do you want to see in the world?
Truth.
Compassion.
Respect. Peace.
Safety.
Care for others.
Love, care for others.
Tolerance.
Beauty.
I'm going to say bounty, but just enough.
Bounty. Love it, yeah. How about abundance?
Abundance.
Understanding.
Pleasure.
Yeah, I'd say fun is in there too, isn't it? Just enjoying life. Enjoying our family, our communities, the parks around here, the everything. Let's see. Okay, I'd say that's a pretty good toolkit for us. So let me try the other side. What happens? What are the things that arise from non-acceptance? Think about the times that you're fighting tooth and nail against just what is happening around us. What comes out of non-acceptance?
Hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy. Only one right way.
Othering.
Indifference.
Intolerance.
Fear.
Violence.
Yeah, no kidding. We can really waste ourselves on this side. I know I have from time to time. I think we all have.
Judgment.
See what I wrote down. Yeah, you guys have got a pretty good, anger, confusion, feeling alienated, wanting to argue and convince people. And I think you've kind of covered that in that too. That's what comes up for me when I get in that space. So here's the fact. The fact is we don't have control in the world. And we all have the power of personal response. So I'm encouraging you, this is a pretty good list. If you're trying to figure out where you are in that moment, where your heart is in that moment, I think by thinking about these lists, you know immediately if this is something you want to inquire into, to find out more, you know, to follow, or something you're like, okay, I know it's there, I can hold it, but it's not what I want to respond with. So it's good to keep, we all know that we all have these values. So please don't let fear be your master. Don't waste yourself in non-acceptance. But take care of your fear. Respect it. Give it some room. It usually likes being seen. It likes being held and acknowledged. And the other thing is when we can feel our own fear and anxiety, we can hold it for each other. And it doesn't work if we can't. And then go out with your entire heart and keep your eyes and ears open, keep your heart open to find things that spark this first list that you want to join with, that feel like it's a positive response in yourself and in those around you. I was really inspired. And the other thing that happened this week that is another kind of turning point, I don't know about you, but I had Cory Booker on my iPad this week as he was talking near the end of his speech. And not only just, I thought, this is what full-heartedness looks like. It's inspiring. When we see it in others, we feel inspired. And other people, he was near the end, were stepping up to ask a question, but they'd actually take 10 minutes to get to their question so he could have a break. And I thought, that's compassion. That's compassion and support. That's what it means to support full-heartedness. And of course, yesterday, I don't know where you were, but there was the big protest yesterday here in Ann Arbor. And I hadn't realized how alone I had felt, because the other big response is this is a community response. And feeling the solidarity of people around us is so important. So we need to be fed and supported as well. So looking for that too, and understanding that we need that was really important. So I want to just share a little bit about what our response might look like. Both in terms of, if you think about in terms of time and attention, what do we spend our time on? What do we spend our attention on? Relationship, How can, what kind of relationship do we have to people we know, people we don't know, people we might pass on the road or in the grocery store that can respond? How do we respond financially? Not only what do we give money to causes, but where are we spending our money? Our wallets are really an amazingly powerful tool in terms of how and where you spend your money. And then how we engage in the world. Do we pull away or do we find ways to reach back out? So, and I think the most important in this is just staying open and listening. This is a deep inquiry. Engaged practice is a deep inquiry of looking in and seeing what's here and what's out there. And how can I find what really moves me wholeheartedly? And I think we know, it was interesting yesterday at the march, because there were some signs that were very universal. You know, just let may all beings be at ease kind of signs. And I had one like that. And then there were others that were more, screw this person or whatever. And there were some pretty funny ones. There was one that said, honk if you've ever drunk texted war plans. And I thought, that's pretty funny. But I realized I wanted to stand on the side of something that would be hard to disagree with, because we are divided and we need to find unity. So staying with the values, I think this first set of values, I don't care what your political convictions are, I think it'd be hard to disagree with that. So that's what we want to stay with. So I just want to end. And then I think it'd be nice to have I'd just love to hear what people are thinking and what ideas we have, and just to share our wisdom. But I'd like to end with a quote that I came across, probably the first year I started sitting, that was at the Zen temple. And it was, sit in the world, sit in darkness. Sit in meditation, sit in light. Choose your seat, let wisdom grow. Thank you.